The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.
You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at advanced medical testing centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. Oh, do we have good news for you today? So lots of information to improve your good health, help you feel well. And I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet.
And you were earlier in the week, we were talking about the DARK Act, and it was the acronym for Deny Americans the Right to Know. Do you want to give us an update on that DARK Act, Dr. Slavin?
All right. Apparently, it was defeated in the Senate. It had already passed in the Congress, but it was defeated in the Senate.
Can I go, Okay.
And but yeah, again, that was the act to try and block the passage of a bill to demand that foods on their label show whether it's genetically modified or not. It shouldn't be such a contested issue, letting the consumers know what they're getting. But it was. But it was defeated. The DARK Act was defeated because the Senate received a lot of phone calls by people that did not want that bill to pass. We'll see what happens now. They'll come up with something else, I'm sure.
Well, a lot of times these are put in as addenda to other legislation, and as such, it kind of flows under the radar. And consequently, people are not alerted that they need to connect with their representatives, their senators, so that they are voting in a way representative of their constituents, not representatives of big corporations.
I think also in this political season, compared to prior seasons, I think there's less apathy on the part of the voters. I think they're paying more attention to what's going on in this country and what their elected officials are or are not doing. But it's very difficult because you don't get the true story from the media in many cases.
In many cases, it is very much construed in a way to make you make a decision and not necessarily the whole profile of facts.
You know, I have to suggest that you try and listen to the actual words of a candidate rather than how it's being reported, because the distortion is really quite noticeable.
Okay. This apparently is partially a health and wellness show, and partially because politics makes such an impact on your ability to make health decisions. This is very much a political beginning to Natural Doc Radio. But the thing is, so many times the people making decisions don't necessarily have the facts. They have facts presented to them mostly by the corporate interests and the lobbyists, not necessarily their constituents.
Well, healthcare is very political.
Yes. Period. Okay. Healthcare, yeah. Exclamation point.
Right. And I think it was brought out, and it was made extremely political with Obamacare. The minute the politicians stepped into healthcare and made it extremely political, because now whatever goes on in healthcare is being blamed on one politician or another. As before, it was a you know, an insurance company,
tell me the insurance companies weren't really politically involved before this.
I'm not going to tell you that.
Okay, good.
But you see, my position is that the government's role should be oversight. So if you have a private entity like an insurance company, there should be a mechanism where someone can step in and say, no, that's wrong or that's right. When the government does it, you know, no one can tell them what to do.
Dr. Slavin, don't you think that it's been a very, very long time since the government had that kind of power? I think it is the corporate influence behind the government, behind those elected officials, and that's how the strings are being pulled. And you said that this politicalization of healthcare came about with Obamacare. No, I think it came about far before Obamacare because the insurance companies were so out of control, because some of the pharmaceutical companies and healthcare providers. And when I say healthcare providers, I'm thinking about hospitals and scan centers, testing centers, dialysis centers. I think all of that got very far out of control and out of the ability for everyday Americans to pay for the kind of medical care that was available and appropriate for them. And then when you go back to the implementation of Medicare, that was the actual beginnings of the politics of it. I don't know. But, you know, I think it goes far back before Obamacare.
But that just brings us back to I'm saying, people are paying more attention because it's affecting them more directly.
Sure.
The way healthcare has changed since the implementation of Obamacare, where people have noticed their premiums going up, their deductibles going up, their access to healthcare providers being impacted. But on top of that, primarily because they were not told accurately what was going to happen, because they were told just the opposite. They were told your premiums would go down, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your insurance. So based on that, see, the consumer, the voters, trusted the government. And now I think there's a lot of distrust of the government because they blatantly lied. You know, the government could lie about a lot of things, but if it doesn't affect you directly, you don't really pay attention to it. But when they lied about health care, and you feel it and you see it firsthand, now you that level of distrust increases.
Do you think that the corporations, and I'm referring to insurance and pharmaceutical and hospital corporations, do you think that they were cooperative with regard to the points associated with Obamacare in order to have Obamacare work? In my opinion, there was such division and opposition, and I still see it, such opposition that there's no common ground. And how does a democracy work? It works with finding some common ground. And if people say, no, my way is the only way that's right, and absolutely refuse to make any kind of compromises, any kind of ways of finding the method of moving forward for the good of the country. I think there was so much opposition to Obamacare. It was doomed.
Well, there was a lot of opposition. If you remember, it would not have passed on its own except for last-minute coercion of various senators. I think there was just one, actually. And many of those politicians that went along with Obamacare are no longer in office right now. But the voters are still unhappy because they voted their dislike of Obamacare, and still nothing's been done about it. So, and what should be done? It should be, again, transparency. The simple things, you know, why shouldn't you be allowed to buy insurance across state lines. In other words, have open competition between plans. Why should every state be have a state monopoly with just a couple of insurances available in each state? You know, little things like that that the people really can't understand.
And that's bringing us back to the DARK Act, preventing the voters from having a comprehensive understanding of the impact certain legislation has on their health.
One of the great things about capitalism is competition. You get a lot of different products out there, and the last product standing is the one that the people liked the most. With Obamacare, insurance was mandated. So now the public is forced into buying insurance. That means that there is no competition anymore for a better product, because you got to buy something. I don't have to provide you with a good product. You just have to buy what's out there. And that's what's happened.
Okay, I don't have the numbers precisely in my head, Dr. Slavin, but I believe that there are around 20 million people who did not have health insurance now have health insurance.
Let's not confuse health insurance with health care. The people with health insurance now still don't have health care because they can't afford the deductibles or the high copays or access a provider because they're so limited for those plans. So,
okay, we didn't have health care before.
But everybody would still be able to access health care by going.
No, 20 million people didn't have it.
They didn't have health insurance. They had health care.
They didn't have health care. There was no such thing as health care. Health care embraces nutrition, embraces hygiene, embraces.
Well, that hasn't changed.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There wasn't health care before. There isn't health care now.
It's
disease care.
Well,
and
insurance.
We pretty much agree on the fact that this whole setup is disease care focused on creating a list of symptoms, naming a disease, and providing a pharmaceutical for it. And the truth of the matter is, when all of this political brouhaha was coming about with regard to Obamacare, I was so very saddened by the fact that it was not embracing health care at all. There's no such thing as comprehensive health care. But my point about the people having health insurance, it's kind of taken the visits to emergency rooms a little bit less situation of taxpayers supporting those uninsured patients in the emergency rooms. Okay.
I'm not so sure about that. Plus,
they have insurance.
They have
now.
Health insurance. They don't have, and we won't call it health care, they don't have disease care because they can't afford to use their insurance. When you have $5,000 deductibles and high copays, you know, people, before your insurance kicks in, you can't afford to use that.
But what were you suggesting to people years before in order to make their insurance affordable? Go for extreme situations. Go for an insurance policy with a very high deductible and pay for your individual visits to the doctors.
But those insurance premiums with a very high deductible were also very affordable. Now you've got very high premiums along with high deductibles, and it's a completely different situation.
Now, why might those premiums be so high? Might it be that the insurance companies are laughing all the way to the bank because of their involvement in this care for insurance care for the population?
That's what happens when you have no competition.
Okay.
Well, if you have a lot of companies competing for your business, prices come down. When you have a limited number and mandated insurance that you have to buy it, they don't have to compete. They just say, okay, take it or leave it, but you can't leave it, so you're forced to take it.
I thought that there were many companies with providing health care or providing health insurance in this Obamacare, and that the collusion, let's say, might be taking place among those insurance companies because they know that it is mandated that the population must select one of them. And consequently, they're raising their prices higher and higher and higher.
Remember, the mandate was for companies greater than 50, you had to provide the health insurance. And for... And the way to get out of it is if you had a big company like that, you would limit the number of working hours to under 30 because you didn't have to provide health insurance to part-time employees. So all these things created
disarray.
A climate to again, hurt the healthcare consumer.
And that music, thank goodness, there's that music. It's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. And when we come back, we're probably going to talk a little bit more about the Dark Act. So stay tuned.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. If you're in search of the fountain of youth, if you're trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy, there are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through my counseling sessions, I work with clients and manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. I can help you maintain optimal health that will keep you looking and feeling young again. I provide you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. So schedule your appointment today, JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait, your clock is ticking. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're moving on, right, Dr. Slavin?
Yes, we are.
Okay, good.
And why do we say that healthcare is so political? Because they're not doing anything actively to keep you healthy. All their messages, all their indoctrination is about what to do when you get sick. Now, one could argue, well, that's what healthcare is about, treating illness. On the other hand, I think most of us as healthcare consumers really want to know what we can do to stay healthy. So the first thing is, like, you know, it's the same, you know, common sense approach to anything. You have to identify the problem before you can address the problem.
Now, don't you think common sense has been abandoned in the past 20 years? It seems to me that in pretty much every aspect of our lives, when you get down to common sense, it's a little wide of the mark of what's going on.
Well, you know what they used to say. They still say it. Common sense isn't so common.
Right. There you go.
So when we say identify the problem so you can address it, if you don't do the proper testing, you're never going to identify the problem. If you wait, for example, let's say you're driving your car and you notice the brakes aren't working as good as they should, but it still works. So do you go in and fix the brakes then, or do you wait until they stop working and then you hit a wall and then you fix the problem? You know, this is what happens in healthcare. You know, without the testing, you don't know that your brakes are just beginning to fail. But when you hit a wall, that's when everybody jumps in to try and fix the problem. So here's one of the ways that you can identify people at risk. Now, we've heard over the years so many studies that try to say vitamins are worthless. I mean, every now and then. Again, this is, why does this happen? It's the politics of healthcare.
Not only are they worthless, according to some certainly high-powered mouthpieces, but that they're dangerous. Uh-huh.
So recent research now is saying that a multivitamin supplement given to seniors suffering from mild cognitive impairment and depression helped improve both conditions.
So, no surprise to me, Dr. Slavin.
And how do they evaluate that? Well, they compared it to placebo, and they found that the seniors with high omega-3 levels, and by the way, we test that routinely. I wonder how many of your doctors are testing your omega-3 levels. But seniors with high omega-3 levels who were given high doses of vitamins B6, folic acid, and B12, so you got the combination omega-3s and the B vitamins, experienced a 40% reduced brain atrophy rate, I mean shrinkage of the brain, over the two-year treatment course. So the people with the vitamins and the omega-3s, the brains didn't shrink compared to the people not taking it.
And Dr. Slavin, just a couple of weeks ago were articles in mainstream media talking about the dangers of omega-3.
You know what image just popped into my mind? I remember growing up.
Well, you were looking at me, so I want to know.
I remember going to my grandmother's house, and she had visited Florida or something and brought home a coconut. And we're talking about brain shrinkage. So over the years, as the contents of the coconut dried out, you know, you can shake it. It was like a rattle, you know, because the inside shrunk. And that's, you know, that's what happens to brains as people get older. But now they're saying if you're not deficient in the B vitamins and the omega-3s, they found that not only did the B vitamins slow brain shrinkage, and why should we care about that? Because when you slow the brain shrinkage, you also prevent Alzheimer's disease from occurring. So there's a connection there between nutrition and Alzheimer's disease. What is that? It means that people who are well-nourished have a body whose ability is greater to fend off illness. So just a thought. Now, this is not rocket science, but this is the way I think healthcare should be provided is not just doing the tests that people require to determine whether or not they're sick enough to get into the hospital, because that's the way it's practiced today, but doing the tests that identify the subtle changes in someone's state of health that can be addressed very easily and hopefully help prevent problems down the line. Now, earlier this week or last week, you know, I gave a description of someone who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer, and we evaluated them, and you saw how many of these factors were deficient, the vitamin D, the omega-3s, the elevations in inflammatory markers, and insulin resistance, meaning high insulin levels.
The dysfunction of hormones that's so easily addressed, and none of the mainstream practitioners are going to take a look at those hormone levels until there is a very, very significant problem.
So what also happens when you're deficient in B vitamins? You may have elevation in homocysteine levels. Elevated homocysteine levels, again, the studies show that's associated with an increased risk of stroke and heart attack. So you can see how it's almost a domino effect, because the B vitamins aren't just preventing one problem. They're helping the body function on a variety of different levels that are very important. There was another recent study In 2015, 168 seniors were diagnosed with mild cognitive impairment, and they were assigned to one of two groups. Either they got a placebo or they got a supplement of folic acid, B6 and B12, in much higher dosages than you would normally find in a RDA, recommended daily allowance.
And the forms of those B vitamins very often are not necessarily what you would desire for optimal function of B complex vitamins.
And then the way they looked at these people, they underwent an MRI of the brain, and then they repeated the MRI of the brain at the end of the two-year period. And the effect of the vitamin B supplementation was analyzed and compared to their omega-3 fatty acid concentrations. And those who had the highest omega-3 levels also experienced the beneficial effect of the B vitamin. So it was a combination. You see, this is what, when you hear about studies where they just look at one thing in isolation or in a vacuum, you know, oh, we'll just give B vitamins. And they say, well, B vitamins don't do anything. But what they're saying here is, well, we're looking at B vitamins, but in the context of having enough of the omega-3s at the same time. So B vitamins by itself didn't really give you the benefit that the combination of the omega-3s and the B vitamins did.
Dr. Slavin, you think about how there is a percentage daily value on some of the multivitamins. And when you get to the B complex, you see that some of them are 250%, 1,000%, 300% of the recommended daily value. Shouldn't we take a look and reevaluate what the needs are for the population and to absolutely consider the people who are under a great deal of stress may need higher doses of B vitamins. Those people over 50 may need higher doses. And certainly those people over 70 may need significantly higher doses.
In part because they're not absorbing their nutrients as efficiently from their diet that younger people do. Are their needs increasing? I'm not so sure. Are they taking medications that interfere with the vitamins? Probably.
I just disagree with the labeling percentage of the daily value and to say that the same amount of B vitamins is appropriate. And we should make more comprehensive percentage daily value doses on the labels of the vitamins. I think people look at the labels and they see B12, 1,200% of the daily value, and they get concerned that they're overdosing. But the ability to utilize that B12 is very different among different people.
Well, again, it all gets back to testing. In order to know if you have the right amount, you have to test.
And we've got music playing in the background again. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I am here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here with Dr. Herb Slavin. Okay, Dr. Slavin, what's next? Well,
we were just reemphasizing the combination of vitamins seems to play an important role, not just vitamins by themselves. And this particular study just showed how the combination of the B vitamins with omega-3s prevented brain shrinkage. That translates actually into reducing the risk of cognitive impairment like Alzheimer's disease. But the only way you know you're getting enough is you got to be tested. Now, I don't recommend, like they did in the study, that you go for an MRI of the brain and then you periodically check it to see if you have shrinkage. You take advantage of the information in the studies. You're making sure you're taking your B vitamins and the omega-3s. And I think your diet has to include it. You may have to supplement it. And that's how you tell, by testing. Are you getting enough from your diet alone, or do you have to supplement your diet a bit?
Dr. Daniel Amen has been on public television talking about the importance of brain scans and showing the changes, the shrinkage, the inflammation, and so on. And then he is actually talking about the ways to recover what has been lost and apparently seen as lost on those scans. You don't want to be having those scans on any kind of a regular basis. Dr. Slavin, do you agree that the exposure to the radiation is a danger, so not a good way of testing?
Well, definitely not the CAT scans or PET scans, but an MRI.
MRI is okay.
Is okay from a radiation point of view, but they don't need to be done because you don't want, what good is it to do a test? Oh, now you have brain shrinkage. Now, why didn't you do anything to prevent the brain shrinkage? That's what we're saying. The simple tests of measuring your nutrient levels and making sure you're not deficient. So I think, you know, omega-3s have been talked a lot about. You can get those from the cold water fish that tend to be fatty. That's a good source. You just want to make sure that they're not a polluted source, polluted with heavy metals like mercury.
Now, so many of the people are going to say, well, where can you get pristine fish that so much of our global ocean is contaminated?
Well, and I spoke about that the other day in the context of the salmon in the Puget Sound being contaminated not just with mercury, but with hormones, antidepressants, a whole slew of medications that are being dumped into the water supply.
So you're going to have to change. How do you take antibiotics without a prescription? Right. Eat beef, and you're going to say, how do you get your pharmaceutical medications without going to the pharmacy?
Well, you know, there were at one time there was talk about deliberately putting antidepressants into the water supply.
Oh, wow. Okay. There was something reporting happiness around the world, and the one part that I did see reported was 77% of Americans report themselves as happy, which I thought was a wonderful thing.
Okay. So the omega-3s you get from fish, you also can get it from supplements. So what do you look for in the supplement? It should say molecularly distilled, which means they've taken out the heavy metals and the impurities from it.
There are some vitamin companies, and I kind of think Zymogen might be among them, as a company that receives their omega-3 fatty acids from wild-caught Alaskan salmon, and there is no distillation process. They do test it for contaminants, but no molecular distillation.
Well, as long as it's being tested,
it's pure,
and the impurities are not there. Now, with vitamin B6, that you're going to get from turkey, beef, chicken, wild-caught salmon. But if you're a vegetarian, you can go to sweet potatoes, sunflower seeds, avocado, spinach, bananas. So, of course, again, if you test your levels and you're deficient based on your diet, you can take a supplement there. Same is true of folate and vitamin B12. These are all easy to test. Now, vitamin C, another one, we test people routinely, and routinely people are low in vitamin C. So
they think that they're drinking their orange juice that might have been enhanced with extra vitamin C, and that that does the trick to support vitamin C status. But the truth is, the sugar in the orange juice is enough to negate the benefits of the vitamin C that have been added.
And here's something to think about. I don't know how, you know, when I think of sauerkraut, I think of frankfurters.
That's not a good connection. We got to change that.
What's a good connection with sauerkraut?
Okay, a spoonful right out of the refrigerator into your mouth, and you're doing as well as taking a really good probiotic.
But here was the point with sauerkraut. The vitamin C in sauerkraut, which is fermented cabbage, is about six times higher than in the same helping of unfermented cabbage. So just another food that you can consider. So, and let me ask you this. Do you ever talk to your clients about making fermented vegetables at home?
There are kits available to make fermented vegetables, so it doesn't just have to be cabbage. There are lots of different vegetables, carrots, cucumbers, beets, all of those that are appropriate to ferment at home, and it's relatively easy to do. And if you call the county extension centers, Broward County, Palm Beach County, there are classes to teach people how to make their own fermented vegetables.
And since vitamin C, and this is true about all the water soluble vitamins, don't take one big dose once a day. Spread it out throughout the day. You're going to get more benefit. If you were to take 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C in the morning versus 500 milligrams four times a day, you're going to get a better effect from taking it in divided dosages. So just something to keep in mind. Now, vitamin D, again, we've talked about that a lot. And I look back, and I spoke, I think it was yesterday, about a friend of mine. I think he died when he was 84, but this guy took as good care as anybody I've ever seen take care of themselves. He exercised on a daily, regular basis. His weight was under control. Didn't have stress in his life that I could tell, because he retired at a young age, so money was not an issue. He got a very rare illness, and that's what eventually did him in. But I looked, and he was mostly a raw food foodist. So he would, get the organic food, produce, and he'd be all eating that with nuts and seeds. He'd make his special drinks. But we did do some testing. And he would also go out regularly, and he would sunbathe and swim in the ocean. But his vitamin D level was low. His vitamin B12 level was low. So even in the even when you take the best care with your diet and lifestyle, you should have testing to make sure that you're addressing all your body's needs.
So, okay, so he made it to 84, taking very good care of himself, but it was a rare disease that did him in. So, might there have been any risk factors in the background that you could have possibly minimized the potential for that disease to kill him?
Well, here again, it's hard to say. Maybe if his vitamin D level was higher, if some of his other nutrient levels were better, maybe it would have allowed his body to respond more favorably.
I want want to go back, Dr. Slavin, to the B vitamin profile that you were talking about and how to get those B vitamins from foods. It is crucially important. You connected the B vitamins with the omega-3 fatty acids, and I'm going to throw in to that mix the importance of the probiotics, because if you don't have that proper mix of beneficial bacteria in your gut, the ability of those B complex vitamins to actually be properly broken down and utilized, that activity is compromised. So the omega-3 fatty acids, high quality coenzymated B complex vitamins, and the probiotic, high quality probiotic. And I will just say, very easy to use, very affordable. The Janabiotic is here at the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
Now, for the remainder of the program, I just want to remind everybody about foods or ingredients, let's say, found in food, drink, candy, or medicine that are actually poisoning Americans.
And people don't realize it. They're not reading the small print. If you're purchasing a so-called food product and it comes in a box or a bag or a container, you need to look around for the very small print where it says ingredients. And it goes far beyond looking at the supplement facts label that gives you protein, carbohydrates, sugar, and fats.
So, you know, some of the recommendations are eat fewer carbohydrates, cut back on the red meat.
And I'm going to jump in here, Dr. Slavin, fewer carbohydrates. Vegetables are carbohydrates.
Right. I guess we should say more of the starchy carbohydrates.
Right.
Potatoes, but sugar. Potatoes, rice, you know, come back
fruit.
On that. The red meat, I thought you were going to say something about that. I think it has to do a lot with the quality or source of the red meat, how the red meat is cooked. I would say carpaccio is probably okay if it's from grass-fed, grass-finished, antibiotic, hormone-free meat. Get off, here's one, and I'm sure you agree, get off microwave food.
I tell people all the time, no microwaves. The people who come to me and they're dealing with gastrointestinal distress, reflux, heartburn, all of that, I tell them 2 weeks, no microwave. And they said, well, what does that have to do with it? And the truth of the matter is the molecular structure of the food is altered. Yes, it's altered when you cook food in other ways, but there's potentially something that goes wrong with the microwave process. And they say, well, all I do is reheat foods. I don't ever cook foods. Well, please don't reheat foods with the microwave.
And just one last point, and then we'll continue this when we get back. America is the worst country in which to purchase food, water, and medicine because you're not being told exactly what you're getting. That's what that DARC Act was about, in part. That was defeated, which was a good thing. But the corporations are in charge, and they control all of this stuff. But we need to shine some light on all these things, and we'll shine some more light when we come back.
Okay, you're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli, here with Dr. Herb Slavin. We'll be right back.
Did you know that you can be eating a healthy diet, but that your body may not be absorbing the vitamins and nutrients from your foods? Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a premier blood draw center servicing Genova Diagnostics Lab. Genova offers an advanced comprehensive blood test that identifies your body's deficiencies in absorbing vitamins, nutrients, and essential cofactors. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in Lauderhill. They offer an on-time appointment guarantee and the lowest price guarantee. Schedule your appointment today for a blood draw for the Genova Diagnostics Nutritional Evaluation Test. Call Advanced Medical Testing Centers at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health, but want to do it from the comfort of your home?
Now you can conveniently schedule remote consultations with Janet Cimarelli at janetcimarelli.com. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations via telephone, Skype, or email with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment with Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at JanetCimarelli.com. And tune in to hear Janet on Natural Doc Radio, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on AM 1470 WNN.
Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. We are about to tell you what you need to look for in your food. Dr. Slavin?
Well, here are the things we're exposed to on a daily basis, and we're not even aware of it, or we don't give it a second thought because it's just all around us. So we're going to start off the list of 12 with gluten. It's not that you have a gluten sensitivity. It's just that gluten interferes with your body's immunity. It affects the digestion. Doesn't matter if you're sensitive or not, it can create a problem. And you're going to find gluten in bread and pasta and probably tortillas if they're wheat tortillas.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the rice.
There are some strains of rice with gluten, some strains of oats with gluten. So it's interesting.
And I wonder if the strains of rice, now I don't make it a habit of reading labels. I'm going to look the next time, though, on rice, if they list this has gluten or not, or gluten-free.
It's interesting because I buy rice tortillas that are gluten-free.
Right. Well, that I would think. When I buy something, I look for gluten-free, but I always thought that rice was gluten-free, but now you have to pay attention there, too. Now, how about this one? So many people are still in the, on the bandwagon for taking vaccines. Government's mandated, and before the age of 7, right now in this country, you'll probably get 50 vaccinations.
Before the age of 7, yeah. Which is outrageous. And now go through that list of what's in them.
Well, you have genetically modified organisms. You have hormones from infected cows, pigs, chickens, and monkeys. There are untested viruses in some of the new strain combinations. Plus, you have aluminum, mercury, formaldehyde, MSG, crossbred bacteria from animals, mosquitoes, and even diseased humans. And I guess, somebody came up and said, well, why do they put those aluminum, mercury, or formaldehyde? And somebody said, well, that's supposed to stimulate your immune reaction to these vaccines. So
okay.
I'm just saying, when I look at that, there's not anything there I'd like to inject into my body.
MSG, monosodium glutamate, we know that that is something contributing to brain injury.
And then, of course, we've talked about fluoridated water. Fluoride is associated with over 100 deadly industrial chemicals and heavy metals. It's not just the fluoride, but it's combined with a lot of different things.
And we are very accepting of chlorinated water, but do people understand that their water is kept bacteria-free with chloramine, which is a deadly combination of chlorine and ammonia? Anybody who has ever mixed those two things together knows it is deadly.
And then, of course, the GMOs, that came about when they were splicing the genes of different vegetables to create a vegetable that would withstand the application of pesticides and herbicides so that the plants were protected by using these pesticides and herbicides. So they kill off the insects, the weeds, the worms that might damage them. So now you have the majority of products in this country are some form of GMO, like soy, corn, canola, or cottonseed oil.
It's very, very interesting because genetically modified organism, people think, okay, well, the genetic modification has come in supporting the plant's innate ability to repel insects. And the truth of the matter is it's a genetic modification to repel the plants being killed off by the pesticides and herbicides.
In nature, have you ever seen anything that was purely white? I can think of something. Snow, when it first comes down, is, I think, a pure white.
Okay.
But when it comes to sugar or salt, white wouldn't be the natural color for those things. How does it get that way?
Bleach.
They're bleached. It's irradiated. It's refined. It should be avoided, especially sugar. If you're going to have salt, use sea salt. Sea salt is not pure white.
From the South Pacific, you can find black salt that's absolutely delicious, the Himalayan pink salt. And certainly when you're using sea salt, it's a pale beige color most of the time.
We mentioned vaccines earlier, but the flu shot, which is big campaigns every year for people to get that, very high in mercury. One vaccine had 50 parts per million. That's over 25,000 times higher than the maximum contaminant level of inorganic mercury allowed in drinking water.
And I will just say the people at the pharmacy might be telling you, oh, they took the mercury out. Well, some of the childhood disease vaccines, the mercury has been changed. And I'm not going to say taken out. I'm going to say changed. But in the flu vaccines, as this is saying, the mercury is present in very high levels.
I'd like to go down to gelatin because I wouldn't have thought this was anything to be concerned about. It says the animal parts that don't get sold as meat in the markets and fast food restaurants across America might wind up in other areas like gelatin-coated supplements, which are cooked and reduced animal muscles, tendons, eyes, hoofs, everything mixed with genetically modified pesticide-laden and herbicide-laden corn sugar and sold to unsuspecting children across the land. What would your comment be on that?
Don't choose gummy bears for your children's vitamins.
Oh, okay.
It's a very, very sad state of affairs. The other thing is, if you're getting a gelatin capsule with a powder in it, you can open that capsule very easily, mix it in a little yogurt, applesauce, whatever, and get it into you that way if you don't want to expose yourself to all of the nasty stuff in the gelatin.
So here's an interesting thing.
One more thing. Yeah. There are vegetable gelatin capsules available.
Okay. Decades ago, the food industry needed a cheap substitute for imported coconut and palm oil, and they found it. Some Canadian scientists took rapeseed.
The most toxic of all food oil plants. It was related to mustard gas in World War II.
And, of course, they changed the name from rapeseed because people wouldn't have liked, they don't like that name. They changed it to canola oil. And the way they got the name canola oil, if you look at it, Canadian oil.
Well, they found that Mazola was the best-selling oil here in the United States. And this was from Canada. And, yes, canola.
It is more toxic than soy oil, even when it contains zero pesticides. Study of rats consuming canola revealed degeneration of the heart, kidneys, thyroid gland, and adrenals. You can still get canola oil.
And there are oils sold in the health food stores called organic canola oil. And that's where we had that little bit of a discussion that, okay, you're taking a genetically modified substance and you are cultivating the plant in an organic fashion, that, in my view, still does not make it an appropriate item to consume.
And then there's soy. And I think a major distinction has to be made between fermented and unfermented soy. No soy was fit to eat until the discovery of fermentation techniques hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm not sure when that started. Anyone eating unfermented soy could suffer abnormalities like kidney stones and food allergies. But these days, most soy, at least in this country, is already genetically modified. And fermented soy that's genetically modified is still genetically modified. So you want to get, if you have to have soy, get organic soy.
Organic fermented soy, very important. Yes.
What are some forms of fermented soy?
Tempeh, miso.
Is tofu fermented or not?
I don't believe so. It is very, very highly processed, yeah. But not fermented.
So maybe people think of that as maybe a health food, but maybe it's not so healthy.
Well, if you're using it once in a while as part of an Asian dish that you're creating, not a problem, but not as a very, very comprehensive source of protein in your diet. You've been tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been talking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.